On this Friday afternoon, let's check the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Good afternoon, Eric. You're in warmer climes than I am, or at least as we're talking in that St. Louis area. You've been making a presentation, what, to the Missouri bankers?
Yeah, great crowd this morning here in St. Louis. And it's beautiful right now, but I know I'm heading home to a little bit cooler and a little more cloudy conditions later on today.
Yeah, I was out at noon hour and it felt pretty cold here. Speaking of which, is that an indicator of what next week's going to look like? Because I've heard some just rough tales of winter cold coming in next week.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. So it's been nice the last several days. We've been dry, at least. Even though it's been chilly, we've been dry. And the thing is, starting on Monday, I'll be watching our next big system that's going to be forming a little bit to our east. And that's going to be the name of the game in the coming time period here. What we've got going on is we have a trough, but it's anchored here between Greenland and the Hudson Bay. So that is going to help focus more of the cold coming out of the central plains, but then setting up the more active storm track that's going to stretch from Texas through basically the Carolinas and up the East Coast. So the eastern Corn Belt and, of course, the southern part of the United States is going to have a very, very active next 10 days. And we're going to be on the back side of these systems. And so after this first one takes shape to our east on Monday, so we got a chance of rain on Monday. Behind that thing, we might get turning over to really bitterly cold very quickly. And I'm talking overnight lows that'll be down there in the teens and farther north you go, getting up to the single digits. And unfortunately, next Wednesday, I got to go to North Dakota, where it is going to be absolutely bitterly cold with strong northerly winds, where we'll see temperatures that are going to be low overnight lows down into the minus 10 to minus 20 range. And remember, that part of North Dakota that I'll be visiting has already had an entire winter's worth of snowfall hit it, over 4 feet on some of those fields that have yet to be harvested in that area. So very active pattern, but mainly to our east next 7 to 10 days. Rather than in the central plains and in the Midwest. I think we're going to be a little bit drier in this area. Even though we'll still have systems come through, we're not going to be nearly as wet as it will be to our south and east. So active pattern coming up for sure.
So in North Dakota, are you going to Minot or are you going to Great? Where are you headed?
I'm going to a little town called Mayville. There's actually a university there, and I'll be speaking at that university. And it's got a population of, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 people in addition to the students. It's a small town. I'll be coming into Fargo and then making the trip there, and it's going to be cold, that's for sure.
Well, good luck on the trip. Fargo probably shouldn't be too bad. At least the airport's small, and you can get in and out of that fairly quickly. Oh, my gosh. South America, we probably ought to talk about that. Their first crop, corn, usually is consumed in Brazil. But the Safrina crop, which is much larger in size, can be exported, and a lot of it is exported out of the country and becomes competition for exports with the United States. What do we know about conditions in Brazil and South America in general, including Argentina? Because I know it's been both dry and wet, depending on where you are.
Yeah, and that's really a great description of what's going on here. So we are anticipating, as you know, a pretty large Safrina corn crop just based on demand and supply coming out of South America and specifically Brazil. And so we got to think about what happened with this first crop beans, of course, because about 75% of that total corn crop is second crop here. And the first crop beans actually went in right about on time for the five-year average, but it is behind what we were in 2018. So 2018, remember, was a very supportive summer for them, 2018, 2019, for getting a great big crop of beans and a big crop of corn afterward. Now, with the bean crop going in late in places, and I've seen a lot of reports of replanting due to some very untimely rainfall after drought conditions, what we're going to be seeing here is a normal planting of corn automatically puts the end of that corn, the reproductive stages, and then into the grain fill stage, already puts them at what would be the end of the monsoon. So what we're going to have to watch carefully is over the coming weeks, do the major soybean producing areas in Brazil get the rain they need to get the crop going the way it needs to go? Because any delays at this point could really impact the quality of that second crop. And here's what's going on in the near term. Eastern Brazil's dry. Southern Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, wet. Argentina is actually very dry in the next 10 to 15 days. Now, Santa Fe, Cordoba, those are two areas where we grow a lot of soybeans, a lot of corn. They're doing okay, but it's the northern, western, and southern growing areas in Argentina that are right now dealing with a little bit of adverse weather and quite dry. But the center part of it, you know, is doing better. So we've got some mixed results coming out of South America, and they're all going to be watching very carefully for what's going on in the Pacific. Because even though right now we have what we call a La Nada, right? Neither El Nino or La Nina. I'm kind of joking, but that's what we sometimes do. We do have this Indian Ocean dipole event fading. And what's going to happen when that fades, Magellan Oscillation takes over, which means they'll go through a cycle of when the precip's good and when it's bad for Brazil. And if the timing is off, that could impact both the finish of the first crop beans and the second crop corn. So a lot to think about there, but we need to talk about it every week until that second crop is in. To see how things finish up for the beans.
You know, from now on, I'm going to use with my children La Mucho Nada
exactly.
Or La Grande Nada, one of the two. The big no.
I wish there was an El Nino or a La Nina, but we don't have one this year.
All right. Hey, you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
That sounds good. Thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible.